All right. let's open up today to 1 Kings. Man, there are so many good things happening here. You really can't contain it. It's amazing. And it's only going to get better, right? Now, I'm not just saying that because of what's been happening the last couple weeks. I can just say that because that's the Lord's will for everyone, right? Better, you know, doesn't mean not, doesn't come with trial and tribulation. Better meaning that the kingdom is going forth. And so, yeah, I don't know. Let's see here. In the time of the cherry blossom, I don't know how I'm going to describe this one. You guys can, I guess, maybe describe it later. But I believe today is a little bit of teaching, a little bit of exhortation, and I think, realistically, a whole lot of just pastoring. Okay, so right, we have different functions of teaching in the church assembly. The scripture talks about it, right? There's, you got to teach sound doctrine. You have to rebuke sometimes. You encourage and you train up. This is a little bit of a pastoring kind of a word of where I just believe the Lord is taking us. What he seems to be really showing himself in many different ways. It might be, well, it definitely is a more mature word if you haven't been with the Lord for a little bit. But I think we need mature words in the house of the Lord. Amen? Right? But it's also an exciting word, right? And I believe I'm believing it's going to encourage you because it really is encouraging me. And to be honest, it might leave some of you with some questions, okay? Really depending upon what your church background has been, okay? So if you have questions, as always, any question, you just talk to Pastor Josh. He's available 24/7. If you need his phone number or his address, I will tell you. No, you could talk to me as well. But yeah, this may be one that's going to elicit a little bit more questioning, depending on what your background is. But yeah, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, so beautiful. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Right? And it came to pass when the priests, this is during the days of Solomon, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the Lord filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Oh, I love that. The Lord said he would. He would dwell. He would dwell in the dark cloud that I have surely built him. All right? All right. The last 2-3 weeks, the Lord has been highlighting things that the leadership here and people here have been really pondering and acknowledging over the years. That the Lord is just going to continue to show up in mighty ways. And, you know, there's been a pressing in different things as leadership. We've been attacked, it seems like, almost sort of nonstop. I mean, it's like, I'm afraid when Josh calls me, and I think Josh is afraid when I call him. Because it's like, okay, what's next? And then we call Sandy late at night, you got to pray for us. So we're all like on speed dial with one another. It's been one of those seasons, but... Last 3 weeks, there have been a couple different voices. One, we had Brad McClendon from Louisiana, right? That was here a couple of weeks ago. And then on Monday, for those of you that were here, a guy by the name of Tori Harper with PTI was here, and he was releasing very similar words. And then Rich, who is really a part of our body, but he's so involved in a lot of ministry with PTI that he kind of is a little bit more introverted when he's here just to kind of fuel up, I think. But yeah, on Monday night, he was releasing a word that was like in par with so much of the others. And there's a lot of it, and we have it written down, or at least we have Brad's written down. I'm sure we'll get, and Sandy's doing a great job transcripting. So we'll have those things typed up, and we'll make it available to you. But I would say this, in short, everyone in the last three weeks, which they haven't for the last several years, but the last two, 3 weeks have been a very similar vein. One, multiplication is coming to the church, and these are people outside of this church that are saying this, and people that we respect and know here from the Lord, to the point where the walls need to be pushed out, whatever that means. And then a very powerful thing that was said by all three is essentially, with using different language, that the glory and the manifest presence of the Lord is going to show up to the point of seeing a cloud, a mist. Okay? Now, I know some of you are like, what the heck? That's why I said, that's why you call Pastor Josh. But I just read to you, it happened in the days of the temple. The Holy Spirit showed up, and the presence of the Lord showed up in a dark cloud in the midst of them. Okay? And one of the words, it just really, for some reason, just really grabbed me, and maybe because it was like a poetic nature of it, but it was like, during the time that the cherry blossom blooms, you shall begin to see a multiplication. You shall begin to see the glory of the Lord revealed in this place, right? Cherry blossom time up around here is like March, beginning of April. Yeah, March-ish, right? Late March, beginning of April. Hence the nice little graphic. All right, so I am excited. Because you're like, well, this is just someone speaking and, you know, whatever. You know, it could just be like bologna sandwich. But it's like, well, I trust these guys and I believe that they're hearing from the Lord. But even beside that, I know that's the Lord's will, right? So even if we didn't have these words, it'd be like, I know the Lord wants to show up. I know the Lord wants to multiply. I know he wants his kingdom to go forth. I know he wants to show up and heal people and get people saved. Like, that's his will. That's his desire. So I feel very firm to align myself with those words. It's not like, you know, you're going to, do something crazy. I don't know. You are to paint the walls hot pink. And the Lord is saying, you know, that's nothing weird like that. It's like, it's in his word, right? All right. So look, this is what we would say somewhat of a prophetic word or a vision, right? So I've taught this before here, but Proverbs 29:18 says, without vision, the people perish or cast off restraint, I think it is in the King James, right? They perish or they cast off restraint, right? And, you know, I think, you know, with all due respect, there are churches and there are ministry teams that really take this, I think, in the wrong vein. It's like, oh, a vision must be like a business plan, right? What are we going to do this next quarter to do X, Y, and Z? And what's going to be our plan to go out and win the loss? And which tracks are we going to buy? And this, that, and everything. They plan it really from a business perspective, right? And that just is not me, and also like brings a chill to my bones. But the word there, vision in Hebrew, is the word chazon. Chazon is not like a business plan. Chazon is a prophetic revelation. So the real translation should be, without a prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. Okay? You need a prophetic revelation. And you need that for your life. And I taught that like a good 6-8 months ago. I do believe you need to have some form of prophetic revelation for your life. But we as a body of believers, we need that and we got it. Right? The Lord is going to be showing up in very unique and biblical and deep ways. And hopefully everyone here can say amen. So, here's the thing. When you get a word for your life, you know, something that the Lord is really speaking to you, you know, or we get like a public word like this, it's very important that you have, I guess, you know, the old Yiddish saying is chutzpah. You have the internal fortitude to step into that word, okay? A number of people that I have come in contact with, and I'm just going to be honest, it drives me nuts. It's like, you know, I'm going to do this, or I have a vision for this, and I want to do this, and all this kind of stuff, yet they don't step into it. They think like the Lord is just going to show up with a nice box with a ribbon on it and be like, here, undo it. And here it is, you know. The Lord always, always partners with people to bring forth the culmination of the word that he's looking to do, right? And sometimes, of course, he shows up in mighty ways to really help us because we're not really pulling our weight. But we take a look. I mean, it's flooded all throughout scriptures, right? Abraham, he has a prophetic vision, a prophetic word to go to a land that I'm going to show you, right? I don't know. I mean, I've said this jokingly and tongue-in-cheek before, but, you know, I think for a modern Christian, we'd be like, well, I feel like the Lord is telling me to go somewhere. You know, I need this confirmation, and I need 3 dreams and 3 witnesses, and I need all this kind of stuff, and then I'll know if it's the word and the voice of the Lord. And look, I think there is some sound judgment in that, But sometimes we get so overburdened with all of that. And it's like, the Lord is like, I am bringing you to a land that I will show you. And Abraham was like, I'm going to step into it. And he literally steps. He literally packs up. He literally starts walking into the unknown, waiting for the Lord to say, this is the spot. So we have a vision, a prophetic vision, not just a desire of your heart, but a word of the Lord, a chazon, a revelation, and then there's a partnering with it, right? It's the same thing almost with everyone, right, in the Bible. I mean, King David, right? He knows that he's going to be, he's anointed king, and he knows he's going to become king at one point, but he's not there yet, but he steps into it, right? And he continues doing what he's doing, but learning things like killing the lion and the bear and going after Goliath and doing these things to train him up to be a king and to be a leader, right? He doesn't just sit around and, you know, play ba-ba black sheep with his sheep, right? He literally is stepping into training. I'm going to train myself for the position. And so I believe the Lord is with these particular words, and I think words that you have over your life, is that it's really a matter of stewardship for us as a church, but then also you individually. There is a waiting, and for some of us, me, waiting is hard. So I'm on the scale of like waiting is hard. And other people just want to wait. They don't want to do anything. Like, there's people that are like, I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to seize the day and go after it. And then there's other people that are like, well, you know, when God gets around to it, it'll happen. Gee golly whiz, you know? Look, it's really a combination of both, right? There's an active waiting in pursuit of the things of the Lord. You don't just jump into something per se, but you train with the Lord. You learn with the Lord. And you do this, and you step into the things which he has spoken, and you'll see that as you speak, as you rather step into things, the Lord will continue to open up his plan, right? Any seasoned, more mature believer in here, you know what I'm saying, correct? Correct. Matthew 7:7, though, right? Jesus, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For crying out loud, Jesus says, or what man is there among you who if his son asks for bread will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets, okay? So what do we have here? Jesus says, look, knock. The Lord will answer, okay? For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, to him who knocks it will be opened, okay? It will be given unto you, seek, you'll find, knock, 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 okay? So, here's the thing, right? With knocking, with these prophetic words or these feelings and inclinations that you guys have, right? Knocking and the door opening does not entirely mean that you're getting what you believe to be, okay? There have been several times in my life, specifically the last couple months, I really believed the Lord was showing me something. I really did. And I had some pretty strong witness. I mean, really strong witness. And I knocked. And the door opened, and when the door opened, the Lord was like, no, you're not to go through. Okay? So just because the door opens doesn't necessarily mean it is. He may open to reveal to you that, nope, this is not the position, this is not the option, this is not what you are to be doing. But here's the promise. The promise is not that you're going to get what you're thinking. The promise is if you knock, he's going to speak. Okay? So you have to be ready for it, right? You knock. Lord, I'm feeling this, I'm believing this, I'm knocking. He opens a door and he reveals unto you what he wants to give you. Okay? You might want a cake, but he's going to give you an apple, right? You know, if you ask for bread, he might give you a carrot stick instead. But what I'm saying, he's there. But you have to knock. Some of us don't want to knock. Some of us are spiritually lazy. God really wants, he's just going to do it. I don't know, there's probably a couple examples in Scripture, but the vast majority is there is a partnership with man and woman to come to him, to work with him, to come together, and to see the fulfillment of what he wants to do on the earth. Okay? So if you're like, well, I'm just going to wait for the Lord to make me a preacher, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to wait for the Lord to make me a worship leader, it's probably not going to happen. You got to knock. Go knock. Go be a worship leader in your living room by yourself. Right? You want to be a preacher and you don't have a crowd, an audience yet? Do like what some of the old revivalists do. They literally would go into the woods and just preach to the rocks. I used to get made fun of when I first started early out preaching. You know, because, you know, I never did this before. And I literally would get a word. Pastor Peter would be ready to, he's like, oh, one day you're going to have a word. I literally would write the word, get the word. And I literally would stand in my office and outline. I would preach to my books. I would preach to the walls. And the kids and my wife are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting ready. I don't know when the day is, but it's coming, so I'm going to get ready. I'm going to partner with the Lord. Amen? Come on, think of this as someone who's opening up a business. You have a vision for your life, what you want to do, some of you young people, careers, things that you're thinking about. Any good business person is in the process of putting this together. They're going to do things, right? They're going to learn. They're going to research. They're going to contemplate. They're going to plan. You know, it drives some people in my extended family crazy. I have so many dreams in my head. I heard a yeah. Someone said yeah. It's funny. I have so many dreams in my head, I can't contain them, and I have to plan and research and explore it to the point where people think, like, I'm actually going to do it. And I'm like, no, I'm just getting ready. I'm getting ready for when the Lord says go or do, I'm ready to go and do because I've learned and I've researched and I've planned and I've processed and I've done all of this, right? But that can get overburdened as well. Look, when I was a young kid, you know, I had some words spoken over me that I was gonna be a leader, a preacher of some sort. I did feel a little bit of a call in my heart to be a pastor, and I wanted to step in with the Lord with it. I'm not talking young, like 10, 12, 15, you know, like when I was young. And I was just like, man, I had some friends that were like going to go to seminary and stuff, and I was just like, Lord, I'm knocking, but that just does not seem right for my life. And I had a sense that it was going to be an atypical journey. But I decided to step in the best I can. So I, you know, ended up studying religious thought and philosophy in Jerusalem and got my master's degree there. And I kind of went that way. And then ultimately I had to kind of sort of go to a seminary to be ordained through the denomination here. But what I'm trying to say here is this, right? Even your processing may be atypical, but if you have a word that's over your life, and we have a word over this church right now, we need to partner with the Lord. We need to step in. We need to do some things, not out of striving, but as a gesture to the Lord. We're here. We're walking. We're stepping into the River Jordan, right? We're stepping in. I don't know if this is for any of you, but, you know, we were just talking the other night, and maybe it is for some of you. You know, like, at that time, right, they're referred to as the Israelites. They're referred to the Hebrews when they're in Egypt in the wilderness. Once they start getting into the promised land, they're now referred to as Israelites. And when the Hebrews/Israelites are about to go into the promised land, God speaks very clearly, put both feet into the river. And I feel that for some of us, with our sensibilities, the Lord is speaking for us to do things. And we step, and what we do is we put one foot in the Jordan and one foot on dry ground, right? And it's like, well, I want what the Lord has for me, but at the same time, I want what's on the east of the Jordan because it's safe. The Lord said, I'm not going to give you the land. I'm not going to let the river go dry until both feet are in. Now, I'm not just talking to you like I'm blowing smoke, guys. The Lord told us to step away from teaching and give up a good amount of money and pension and insurance and safety and stability and step in with both feet. So I'm not like, hey, you know, we're walking this out like literally the weeks before us of like what we are to do next year with teaching and potentials for retirement and all this kind of stuff. So this isn't, I'm telling you, like, it's nice to have the one, Ministry is really cute and nice. It's cool on my toes. And so, cannonball! Let's go! Right? And then I just believe, like, the Lord is waiting for that. Like, you got to go in. You got to go in. And he sees that, right? He sees the blessing of that. So look, a couple things here. You know, some of you may not have vision for your life. And that's sad. Not that you're sad, but it's just a sad situation. And look, it's I don't think it's biblical. I don't think it's a biblical thing. I think you are son and daughter of the Most High God. You should have, you definitely, I guarantee you in this. I don't guarantee you much, but I guarantee you in this. The Lord and heaven absolutely has a specifically designed vision for your life. 100%. You may have not gotten it yet. And we could talk about that another time. But I think as Bill Johnson says, if you don't know a vision for your life, don't worry. There is a vision for your life. Go preach the gospel. Raise the dead, put your hands on the sick, see him healed, speak in new tongues, prophesy. So, like, I don't know what the vision for my life is. You know what it is. Just do the work of a disciple. You know, everything else will be figured out. So, everyone, we at least have that vision. You're like, well, I don't know if that vision is really that great. Like, raising the dead? Walking in the works and giftings of the Holy Spirit? I mean, that's, I gotta keep you busy. But if you do have that, like, more, a little bit more personalized vision, you don't have to be, like, all hyper-spiritual either, guys. I mean, you could have a vision of what your career is supposed to be, where you're supposed to move, or your job, or whatever it may be. Or even, you know, someone that you're supposed to date or marry or whatever it may be. That one, maybe we could talk a little bit more, because we've seen that go bad real quick, right? The Lord told me that I'm supposed to marry you. Well, he hasn't told me that. Oh, man. You know, if you know, you know. If you know, you know. All right. Now, but if you do have that kind of personal vision the Lord has spoken to you, right, it's really a matter of actively partnering and waiting with the Lord. It's active, okay? You got to knock. Knock. I got to speak this over myself. You knock, but you don't bang the door down. Okay? You don't force it. You got to knock and wait. You knock, the door will be open. Okay? Don't barge the doors down. Don't be like me. Don't barge the doors down. And then you're like, man, I'm in the wrong door. This door is horrible. I'm getting out of here. Okay? But you got to do something. All right? Active, right? All right. So let's tie this into the church a bit. Like I said, a little bit more pastoral word of where the Lord is bringing us and doing here. Look, over the years, the Lord has spoken very clearly through a lot of voices, seasoned voices, that this place is going to be more of like an apostolic regional type of church. And I don't even like using that word apostolic because it has like such weird connotations of whatever. But really, that this is going to be a place for the region where people are going to be coming, they're going to be getting sent out, right, as well. An equipping and training center, if you will, opposed to just a community church, which just a community church is beautiful and great. But the Lord seems to be very clear that we have that call, okay? I mean, if you take a look at it, I mean, if you take a look at this room, we have a good portion of southeastern Pennsylvania represented here. I mean, we have people that drive an hour here, right? We have people that drive an hour west of here. We have people that were driving an hour north of here. I mean, people are coming. This isn't just like a Bristol, Croydon, Levittown church, right? Actually, there's probably less of those people than other people in some regards, okay? Although I think Levittown seems to be the biggest population that's coming here. But we've decided to partner with that, okay? This is why we do things with P-Todd. This is why we actually brought, one of the reasons why we brought Jamie in when the time was right, because he has a regional influence and even national influence, right? And we were gonna, where I was like, we're gonna partner with that. We're gonna step into that. And you know, some people were like, well, Jamie's not here every week. I know, because we're not a community church. We're an apostolic regional church. And we're sending him out, although, you know what I mean, like he's already doing that, the team's already new, but we're partnering with him saying, look, you're going out underneath the blessing of what the Lord is doing here. Okay? Well, we've made connections that are very strategic, you know, people like Brad, like Jason, and Chris, if you remember Chris Olson, he's been out here a couple times, to partner with that. And look, you know, even all the things that we've been doing with Shaw and with Ruth Hendrickson, I mean, she has definitely more than a regional impact. And so these are strategies that we've been doing, and bringing Heather, you know, a lot of us know Heather from worship, bringing her in, that's really our heartbeat. But I don't believe that the Lord just suddenly just drops things into our midst, and his presence and his glory and the multiplication. He's really looking for a partnership. I mean, some more examples. I mean, Moses had the interaction with the manifest presence of the Lord, but to do it, he had to climb a mountain, right? He had to do something. He went and climbed and fasted, and he was there. We see the book of Acts. Well, didn't the Lord just come with tongues of fire and just drop it on the upper room? Well, what were they doing in the upper room? Right? They're devoting, like, days. I forget how many days they were. 120? 120 days. Really? Well, we'll confirm it, but I like it. I knew it was many days. She seems pretty confident. Yeah, it was 100. I thought so too, but I want to honor your mom, okay? Instead of doing it publicly. Like, oh, we'll take a look at it later. Yeah. It was 120 people. I think it was 40 days, wasn't it, from the time of the resurrection of the Pentecost? 49 days or whatever. Well, maybe that's what we need, right? So here's the thing. Getting out of the numbers and the analysis of things. They're praying. They're worshiping. They're doing something, partnering with the Lord, okay? I think for this, with our relationship with the Lord, I like it as like an image of a dance, right? In dancing with a partner, right, there's a contending, there's a going back and forth, there's a lead, and then there's a response. There's an investment, and then there's a connection. You ever dance with someone that, like, both people are trying to lead? Or no one's leading? Right? I really think what the Lord is teaching us, it's a dance. You knock, you wait. He reveals, you step in more, right? It needs to be a partnership of going back and forth, not just storming in and taking it all over. You know, one of the things that we've been doing through this kind of dance mentality is, a lot of things you guys don't know about, but I mean, particularly Sandy and Josh, I mean, some of the crazy prayer assignments that the Lord has directed them in that has really opened up things here. Everything from, like, some really strategic prayers of breaking up the ground from the religious spirit that was decades in this church, okay? We did some even outward signs to bring a rebuke to that. There's a whole list of gamut things, but what I need you to know is that what you are experiencing in church on Sunday is not just the Lord just shows up. It's that there are people for years have been partnering with the Lord in prayer. For years. And the Lord responds. That's the way it works, okay? I think we need to take a step into this glory. We need to take a step into this presence that we're talking about. And I believe one of the steps of our dance is to show him that we are serious about him being a holy God. The holiness of God really has to return to the church again. It was abused, fire and brimstone kind of thing. But holiness is something that really needs to be there. R.C. Sproul, right, says the failure of modern the failure of modern evangelicalism is the failure to understand the holiness of God. If you don't delight in the fact that your Father is holy, 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 then you're spiritually dead. You may be in a church, you may go to a Christian school, but if there's no delight in your soul for the holiness of God, you don't know God, you don't love God, you're out of touch with God, you're asleep to his character. Okay? Obviously, that's season. His holiness is seasons and balanced with love, right? I hope, but there is, like, if his presence shows up, like in 1 Kings, man, there is a presence and a holiness that is there. And I believe we need to, like, start thinking about the holiness of the Lord again. I think some of us may struggle with some sins because we've been so raptured by his love and grace and we haven't understood his holiness. Because you get the holiness of God in your soul and your spirit, man, you're like, whew. The gravity of sin. So there's a balance. There's love, there's grace, there's holiness. And the holiness of the Lord needs to be preached again. Okay? I think another thing that we need to do, we need to take a step towards the holiness and the glory of the Lord. We need to get our hearts right of meditating on his holiness and responding in like mind. And I think that's our step. But I think there's also, we need to really, a second thing is we need to provide room for the Holy Spirit in this place and in your life. And there needs to be a gentle contending, not a striving, to create the room and space. So let me talk about this for a little bit. Hopefully this isn't too verbal, too boring. This is seasoning where we're going. Look, I want to be a fellowship that's like, we don't just see revival and see the presence of the Lord, but we're able to steward it well. Because many don't steward it well. We need to make sure that we create space for the Lord, and our response, of course, is with holiness. And it's like, okay, well, how do you create space, Dave? Well, I feel the Lord just saying, well, to figure that out, how do you not create space, right? So how do we not create space for the Lord? Well, one thing is we fill it with things, right? We just fill it with things. And so I feel like the Lord has given us a little bit of a warning. There's lots of good things that we can do as a church. There's lots of good things. It's amazing things that we can do. But it really, we need to understand where does the Lord wants to bring us, okay? There's a lot of things that we can do and a lot of things we can fill our time and space with. It's rather, well, what does the Lord and where is he bringing us? I think there's another place of creating the space. We have to create a space of hope and expectation, right? Well, maybe the Lord will show up. No, the Lord wants to show up in our midst. The expectation needs to continue. I think a very problematic piece to this can also be if we try to lead out of turn, right, in the dance. We try to force it. Okay, this is probably going to be more of like the warning for you more intercessors, right? Like just trying to force and twist the arm of the Lord for him to show up kind of thing. So we really need to respond to the step of the Lord. The step of the Lord right now is the Lord is highlighting that he wants to bring a multiplication. He wants to bring his presence. We need to ready our hearts in holiness. We need to be contending and believing that that is in fact what he wants to do. And I believe a huge linchpin to that, stepping into the presence, stepping into the glory, is of course, worship. So a little bit more theology and understanding here. We talk about the glory of the Lord. There's several words for glory in the scripture. Here are the three most prevalent used ones. The first one is hold. The second is kavod. The third one, it's not Shekinah, although the Lord is not offended when you say Shekinah. In Hebrew, it's pronounced Shekinah. Everyone says Shekinah. Shekinah glory, come on down. It's fine. It's cute. The Lord loves your accent. But Shekinah, okay? Hold kavod Shekinah, okay? Yeah, like the S-H-K is kind of blended together. Shekinah, okay? Right? So the different presence here, right? When the scriptures talk about the glory of the Lord and it's using the word hold, it's really talking about God's position. He is glorious. It's his position. His grandeur. His beauty, his majesty, his splendor. It's hod. Okay? The second one here is kavod. That is weight, strength, power. That is the actual weightiness of the Lord. Okay? In scripture, when people are coming in contact with the Lord and they fall to the floor, right? You're getting prayed for those of you who don't know, and like someone falls out in the spirit, oh, what are they doing? Oh, they're just drunk in the spirit. They're not just drunk in the spirit. They're coming underneath the kavod, the weightiness of the Lord. Some of you have not had that experience yet, but it's coming. I'm telling you, there have been dozens of times in my life, and even sometimes more pronounced by myself, where I'm just praying with the Lord, and there's such a kavod, there's such a weightiness of his glory that I cannot get off the floor. I mean, I've been in a place where I'm like, dear God, you need to get off of me. Has anyone else been there? You're like, Lord, I love it, but you need to get off right now or I'm going to die. Right? I mean, you're like smacked into the floor. Okay? Now, I know it looks crazy and it looks silly. Just wait for when it happens to you. All right? I'm telling you, there's a weightiness of the glory of the Lord. Right? It's a representation of weight, of worth. Right? That's where the word comes from. Like metal or gold has a weight, an ounce to it. Right? And then Shekinah is the crazy one. That wasn't crazy enough. This is the actual, Shekinah comes from a dwelling, a sitting, a manifest presence. Okay? When we say Shekinah, glory, come on down, I mean, you're like, I just want the glory of the Lord. Do you want his grandeur, his beauty, his majesty, and splendor? Of course we do. But when you're saying Shekinah, glory, come on down, you are literally pronouncing that the manifest presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from the throne room of heaven would come into our midst, most likely through a black cloud and mist, or maybe a pillar of fire. That's what you're praying. With all due respect, you cannot pray that, you cannot sing that when you're sitting on your tushy. Right? Like, that's like, that's so anachronistic. There's like no way, Shekinah glory, come on down. Ain't happening. You're calling, you're eliciting for the creator of all things to show up in the natural. Be careful what you're singing. Okay? And he's not going to show up unless there is that reverence of like, whoa, whoa. Right? Look, I have been in my life always trying to bring the hold of the Lord, the honor, the grandeur of the Lord, right? That's our position. That's his position, what we want to do. I have been in the kavod of the Lord, the weightiness. I have only gotten little tiny snippets of the Shekinah. Shekinah. I've witnessed it. I have been in the kavod, but I have yet to see the fullness of the Shekinah, right? The Shekinah. All right? Some of you are going to be tweaked out about this, but, you know, whatever, man. You know? Look, I mean, I've seen miracles. I've seen people healed from cancer. I have been in meetings where I've been prayed for that I'm going to have a healing ministry, and when they're praying for me, they're not even touching my hands. They're just praying for me. Oil is coming out of the palms of my hand, and I smell it, and it smells like frankincense and myrrh. Days later, I'm taking a shower, trying to get it off. It still won't come off. It's just permeating from my skin, okay? I've been in meetings where, yeah, I know you can think it's the crazy train. Gold dust is coming from the sky. The manifest presence of the Lord is in the mist. I've seen feathers fall. You're like, oh, that's weird. It's weird. We got to find it in the Bible. Okay, we got to find it in the Bible. Where does it say that a feather has fallen? You know, it's like, the manifest presence of the Lord, you are communing and interacting with heaven. Rather, heaven is coming down. It's not time to evaluate, like, you know, is it a dust particle? Where is it in gold? Like, dude, when I'm reading my Bible and worshiping the Lord, or I'm in like this crazy train camp meeting down in Virginia in Appalachia, and these people with no pretense are just singing the same verse over and over and over again. Like, I saw a wheel within a wheel, the Ezekiel wheel. For like 30 minutes, we're all singing this. And the weightiness of the Lord is so heavy. And you look around and there's gold dust on your shirt and there's feathers falling. I'm sorry, man. I saw it, I see it, and that's the closest I've gotten to the Shekinah. I haven't seen the mist. I haven't seen the cloud yet. But I know it's what the Lord wants. Yeah, they definitely, this is not fog machine, please. Definitely. Well, God is so good. And here's the pastoral piece. Well, why? Why, Dave, would we want to contend for the manifest presence of the Lord? Why? I mean, I know, I want to get a little bit more like, a little bit more than the why not, right? I mean, Psalm 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Like, we sing that song. I'm just taking it literally. I don't want to just behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to behold the glory of the King of Kings, of my Creator. It's not just some nice 90s worship song. One thing I have desired. Do you even desire that? How about that? I desire for the Lord to bless me and give me my mortgage paid off. No, I desire that I can behold your beauty and interact with your glory and your presence. That is scriptural. That is the Bible. That is the heart of King David. That I may dwell in your house, the bowl of the beauty and the choir in his temple from the time of trouble. That's why I desire to see him. What, why, Dave, well, why would you, why, well, why do you want to do this? Well, I want to see him. I mean, don't you want to see him? Don't you want to, like, be with him? I mean, he's my lover. I'm his bride. I want to be with him. That's the kind of ethereal, philosophical way. That's my heart. That's why I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven to escape hell. I want to go to heaven to be with Jesus. And if Jesus is not in heaven, guess what? I don't want to be there. Why do you want to go to heaven? To have everlasting life, like get out of hell's fire. That's not why I want to be there. I want to be there for the rest of eternity, I can behold the lover of my soul. That's why. And whatever else happens, that's just cherry on top of the cake. That's where my position is. So I'm going to do that for eternity. I want to begin now. Let's begin now. Now, it's more than just beginning now. Because in his presence, yes, there's a fullness of joy. But in his presence is healing. In his presence is deliverance. In his presence is salvation. In his presence, the country is changed. Amen. The world is changed in his presence. Not from you preaching. From his presence. I want his presence here. So every doubting Thomas that doesn't believe in Jesus walks into this place, walks through the parking lot, and there's smoke coming out, man. They're like, what is going on? And they come in and they, boom, get hit with the kavod, the weightiness of the Lord. And the Lord meets them and they get up a new creation in Christ Jesus. Look, man, it's going to save a lot of time and energy. Let me give you Romans Road. Let me walk you through Romans and teach you that. And John 3:16. No, man, I just want you to come in contact with the manifest presence of the Lord and be totally wrecked for the rest of your life. I just want to behold him. So this is also found in 1 Kings. Where am I? We got a little bit more time. I hope you're okay with that. This is an important word for us. 1 Kings, and I already read that, 2 Chronicles. It's the same story, just in a different book. But I liked how it was laid out. Yeah, 2 Chronicles 7. 1, when Solomon had finished praying, the fire came down. Can anyone give me a little more coffee? It'll slow me down, believe it or not. Thanks, man. I don't spill it. Thank you for whoever bought me a coffee cup with a mug with a lid on. It was very cute, very funny, but very nice. I just keep forgetting to bring it. But it's gone. Now, when Solomon had finished praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. I mean, guys, I've got to be honest. One of my goals of being a pastor is to work myself out of a job. It's like my number one goal. Work myself out of a job. And if the presence of the Lord shows up that the worship team and Dave cannot minister, woo! Yes. Right? Thanks, man. That's what I want. I want to work myself out of a job. You know, another piece here. You know, people are saying, well, why? I just, you know, I feel I want to behold him, of course. I want to see healings. Excuse me. I want to see things happen. I want to see people getting saved and delivered all through the presence of the Lord. I don't know. Maybe I'm like super old school, but I just have a sense that the Lord can probably minister to y'all better than I can. Pretty confident in that. I think the Lord could probably minister you slightly better than Jamie can, or Josh can, or Clayton can. Right? Don't you think? Yeah, I think so. But you know, another piece of this is found in Scripture, of course, Psalm 84. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. Oh, that's why. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. It's like one day in his courts is better than a thousand else. We remember that song in the 90s, right? But here's the thing. You know, my experience has been, man, one encounter, one moment. Forget about a day. One moment, one breath of the Lord can free you up from a lot of years of counseling. One moment can free you up from so much stuff. Just one moment. One moment with Jesus is better than a thousand sermons. One moment with Jesus is better than a thousand hours of counseling. Right? Other reasons here. You know, Moses goes to the mountain of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is there. And he sees the Lord is going by and he cries out, you know, hide me in the cleft of the rock, right? Hide me in the cleft of the rock. For no man can see the Lord and live. So this is another reason why I want the presence of the Lord here. When you come into the presence of the Lord, flesh dies. Like Moses, like hide me in the cleft of the rock so that I don't die. In the New Testament, take me out of the rock so I can die. Dying of the flesh. I want it all to die. So only spirit is left. I want to be transformed. I want to be a witness. I want to be his hands and feet. I must die. You come into the presence of the Lord, it's a guarantee. You will die. The New Testament, it's your flesh that's dying. Does anyone else want that? Then it's probably a much better way to do that than everywhere else. And I believe, obviously, death of the flesh is the thing that's going to house revival. Okay? If we could have a worship team come on down, please. Just maybe like a couple more minutes. This one, I almost didn't put this. This is the conclusion. I almost didn't put this in, but I do think it's important for us to position ourselves in an understanding in what the Lord is doing. What time is it? All right, so you just follow me. Some of you that have been around in the region, southeastern Pennsylvania, for a couple decades are going to reminisce with me a little bit, okay? In 1994, in Toronto, Canada, there was something known as the Toronto Blessing, or the Toronto Renewal. And I was a little kid, I was a teenager at this time, but we'll just say this, crazy stuff was happening. And a lot of people, not just Baptists, but even like, you know, Pentecostals are like, I don't know if the Lord is in this. And look, I'm just going to be real with you. Like many works of the Lord, man gets in there and there's some flesh. Okay? And I'm not going to be the one to be like, oh, this person was in flesh, but this person was in spirit. Forget that. You kidding me? All I can tell you is that there was a major work of the Lord that was released in North America and went around the world. Ministries that some of you follow, including Bethel, came out of that. Essentially, Bill Johnson went there in 95 and got completely wrecked, okay? I'm like 14, 15 years old, and there are things happening, and I'm like, what the heck is going on, okay? Now, that happened, and like I said, you know, some of it, yeah, we'll take that down a little bit. Look, some of it may have been flesh, your people emoting and whatever, but the Lord definitely was doing something major, okay? And I was a recipient of it. I had amazing times with it. And so, is Jules up here or no? She's teaching. Eileen probably remembers. But, there were, don't hate me, I was there. In this region, to the best of my knowledge, when Toronto erupted, to the best of my knowledge, there were only two small congregations that received it immediately. Okay? One of them was now Living Streams, but that was Evangelical Fellowship. Pastor Herman Deitch, early on, they flew up there. Another one was the one that I was a part of, Line of Judah, a Messianic congregation. We went up there early, and the Lord did a mighty work in those two congregations. And I remember being a kid, I'm not going to mention any names, but going to some of the churches that you previously belonged to, and we were on a mission to release the Spirit in an honorable way, and we'll just say it didn't go well. Praise the Lord that during that time, Evangelical Fellowship and the congregation I was a part of, we were contending and believing for the Holy Spirit to be released in power in southeastern Pennsylvania. And praise the Lord, some of those congregations that were not receptive to it got receptive to it because the presence started to come. And I believe fervently, is because of these two little name, no name churches, congregations, because of Messianic Synagogue, that were contending for the region and for the ministries that many of you have come from. I'm going to be that bold. That's a crown that we're going to lay at the feet of Jesus when we get up there. But you need to know it, because no one's going to talk about that one. Now, why am I saying this? Because I believe there's something very powerful that is happening in our midst that you need to be aware of. Doug's father, Herman, was the pastor of the one church that was contending in 94, 95 for churches in the region to receive the blessing that was poured out in Toronto. Doug is a board member at this church. Jamie is a teenager leading 24-hour intercessory prayer times when he's 17, 18 years old. Jamie is the worship leader here. He was a worship leader at Doug's dad's church. The nephew to the small little Messianic synagogue congregation that was contending and would join Jamie and Doug's church for all night intercessors to pray for you guys and to pray for your churches. He's the pastor of this church. A word that was released on Monday is that there is a convergence of Toronto unto here. January 20th, 1994, it began. I was a teenager. Jamie was a teenager. Doug was a teenager. But we are now men. And we're now leading. And the Lord brought us together. It's powerful. We're no longer teenagers. And when other men and women back in their teens were partying, we're contending for the region. When other people are doing crazy things and going after the lust of the flesh, Jamie is leading night watches at the age of 18. I'm literally 15 years old in a house fellowship worshiping the Lord on a cooking pan and a spoon. We were training. We were training for war. The little Davids and the little Joshuas have been trained. I don't mean to be so bold and so arrogant, but I feel the Holy Ghost on it. We've been training for 30 years. And Jamie and Doug have been training in worship, and I've been training in the Word, and it's coming together to release something in the region again. For 30 years, we've been knocking on the door. For 30 years, we haven't been like, Lord, just come. For 30 years, we've been training ourselves for war and for this moment. And the Lord, unbeknownst to us, is bringing us together into this place. The faithfulness of the Lord. I saw you when you were a teenager. I saw you when you were contending as a young person in these two small little churches that people thought we were crazy. I saw you. And I've trained you. One of the words that was released on Monday night was more than in 94, in 24. What the Lord did in 94, let there be more than that in 24. And that word was, it's going to be happening here. It's going to be happening here. It's going to be happening here. Let me stand. Look, I don't want you to think I'm too arrogant, although if you do, so what? I mean, Paul the Apostle, he says, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, but I count all lost for Christ. I just want you to see that the Lord has been taking his time and he's hearing young men knocking on the door through their teenage years and their 20s, and he's like, I'm opening the door and I'm responding now. Amen. I'm responding now. We have not been lazy. We've been active in the pursuit of the things of the Lord. We've been active continuing with the vision. We've been active with Peter. We've been active studying the word, becoming a pastor, doing these things, laying things down so I could behold the beauty of the Lord. You should be excited to be a part of this place. You really should. Because it's about to go crazy in a good way. And there will be order. There'll be order of the nursery, not order of the cemetery. Okay? But I believe with these words, and looking back on the last three decades, the Lord has been preparing. And he's looking for a people yet again. And I've said yes. I said yes when I was 14. I'm saying yes again now. Question is, are you going to say yes? More importantly than saying yes, are you going to actually have the you-know-what to knock? Because when you knock, he opens the door. And you know who's behind that door? The King of Glory. When you knock, you know what's behind the door? Not just the kavod, not just the hold, the Shekinah, the manifest presence of the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand the gravity of this. And you're like, I'm going to go get my coffee right now. I'm going to get my little pastry. I'm telling you right now, you need to understand the weightiness of this moment. Permission. Permission granted. Permission granted. Turn this place upside down. Permission granted. Permission granted. Burn the flesh. Permission granted. Permission granted. Get rid of every dream and hope and vision I had for my own life. Permission granted. There it goes. Come on. Come on right now. Come on, the weightiness of the Lord is coming into the house. This isn't a time to just read off a stinking screen. Come on, we have our sister right here who's already coming under it. Just release the permission right now. Come on. Are you going to be willing to release the permission of your pension plan like I just had to? Are you going to release the permission for your stability and your control like I have to right now? Are you releasing that permission or not? Come on. I just encourage you right now, vocalize it. Who cares who hears? Come on, vocalize right now what you're willing to give up right now. Jesus. Come on. Whether it's 49 days or 120 days, you think they just sat on their rear ends? No. They were contending with heaven. Oh, Jesus. Come on. After 30 years of searching, you found a place.
Come on, after 30 years of building, you found a place for the presence. Come on, for 30 years, the glory cloud has been looking for a place to dwell in southeastern Pennsylvania. Come on. Solomon said, I built him a house. I built him a house. And he said he would fall. Come on, we built you a house here, Lord. A pure house. A family house. Because you said you would. You would fall. You said you would fall in the ghost. Come on. Come on, come on. Yeah, yeah. We don't need esteem. We don't need more money. We don't need a bigger building. We just need the presence. So I want to behold your beauty. Come on, come on. Let the Joshuas arise. The Joshuas that lingered outside of the temple when they were young. Come on, we just say, Joshuas arise. Come on, you are lingering outside of the tabernacle. Come on, let the Davids arise. Come on, you learn to kill the lion. You learn to kill the bear. Come on, there's nothing we want more. Nothing we want more. Nothing we want more than your presence. Come on. Come on, the team's going to keep worshiping. Just sing over them. I'm giving you that freedom. Sing over them right now. Come on. Come on, just sing over them. Come on, bring Jess way down. Keep going, Jess. Keep going. Come on, the ministers could no longer minister. Come on, the ministers could no longer minister. My shame. Your presence, Lord. Come on, a convergence right now. A convergence right now. 30 years later, a convergence, Lord. Come on. Sa-da-da-ba-ba-ba. Oh, sa-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, shut up, Baba. Oh, shut up, Baba. Come on, you have permission. You have permission. Right now, guys, it's time to get Pentecostal again in the house of the Lord. Come on, we're contending right now. Come on, if you have the gift of tongues and you feel led, just release it right now in this place. Come on, tongues of fire came down. Whoa, shut up, baby. Whoa, shut up, baby. Oh, Sarah, baby.
More, we want the fullness.
So, ushers, just for the sake of people who are going to be want to have some fellowship time, if you could shut the doors. Those that are in there, if you want to just keep being in the presence, come on down. Come on down. There's plenty of room in here. But I just grabbed the microphone. I was going to speak into something, and Jonathan here had a very similar word. And it was that seeds have been planted this week in the different meetings that have happened. We need to seal it, right? The enemy's not going to try to take it away. And before all those teenagers and young ones go, and whether you are literally a young person, a teenager or not, even if you're an older person, I remember when the Spirit really was falling in the 90s. It's like 14, 15, 16 years of age, and I wasn't really sure of what was going on. Like, this is crazy. Like, there's people falling out. There's people that are screaming. Like, what is happening here? And before the kids go away and maybe younger people in the faith go away and go on with their day, I had a moment with the Lord in my bedroom. And I just got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I have no idea what is going on. But all I know is if it's real and it's from you, I want it and I need it. And with no person praying over me and nothing happened, I said, Lord, if this spirit thing, this fire is real, then you need to come now. And you need to do it now. And he came in my bedroom when I was a young teenager. And he just released fire and a weightiness of the Lord. So look, if you weren't around in the 90s, if you're young and you're like, I don't know what all this is, this is not manipulation. This is not manipulation. This is an invitation. I don't care if you're my Hannah who's 4, if you're someone real old, if you need a touch of what we're talking about, you got to come down. This is an invitation. Come on. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is an invitation now. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but that flame has been getting a little too lukewarm, it's time to come down. There's an invitation right now. Come on, prayer team, if you could come forward and make sure you're facing them so they know who's who. Looks like we got Caitlin and we got Jonathan. Some of the ladies here. Telling you, you don't want to miss this wave of the Lord that's coming. You don't want to miss it. Come on. Yeah. Come on, we need more people praying. Peace like. Cheryl, can you come and pray? Yeah, just face that way so they see you. Come on. You guys are worshiping awesome. Maybe if you're worshiping, just go off to the side a little bit so we know who needs prayer right now. Come on. It's an invitation. More of your presence, oh Lord. Come on. Come on, no one misses out on this one. No one misses out on this move of the Lord. Haley Johnson, come on down and pray, please. Come on.